Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how many of you here today were or are in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts? Yeah. And what was their motto? Be prepared. Prepared for what, though? Anything. It was said that when asked that question, Robert Baden-Powell, the founder of Scouting, answered, "Why, for any old thing." Good advice. Be prepared for anything and everything. But can you be prepared for anything and everything? No one could be prepared for the grave consequences of humanity's fall into sin. No one could have been prepared or expect the way the Lord would overcome those consequences. No one could be prepared that God would kill the firstborn of Egypt or part the Red Sea to deliver to Israel. One prophet would see the little town of Bethlehem producing a Savior. Another would see him wounded for our transgressions, led as a lamb to slaughter. A guy crying in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating locusts would tell us to prepare. But who could be prepared for any of that? Totally unexpected. I think that's one reason why so many people missed God's plan of salvation in Jesus, the Messiah. From the very beginning in Genesis, salvation history is repeatedly a foreshadowing. Salvation is repeatedly pointing forward to the one moment no one could have expected or planned for. So perhaps it shouldn't be surprising that the history of Martin Luther and the Reformation, our own history, was itself a total surprise. The Reformation was a God-gifted rediscovery of the unexpected, impossible to prepare for, gospel. The securing of our redemption by the Son of God and the Son of Mary through the scandal of the cross. But it is surprising. The Reformation shocked the world. And yet, unexpected though it was, the Reformation gave us nothing new. Just the rediscovery of the Messiah who is so often missed. We begin our meditation with a grumbling nation that missed the Messiah that was spoken about by the long, long promise by the prophets, Moses and the others. To properly set the stage to understand what happens just before our text in Matthew 11, we begin at verse 2 and we read, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receives their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.' As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there was arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." In these few verses, Jesus reveals the person and work of Christ. And that's the real discussion of this pericope. To the ears that listen, the poor, having the good news preached to them is the greatest of Jesus' works, as it directly points out who Jesus Christ really is and what he brings to the poor and helpless sinners, just like you and me. The scandal of the kingdom is not only to be found in the person of Jesus, but also in his works. The way in which redemption is announced and established. Christ points John and us to his works in order that we could be confident in regarding who he is and what he has come to accomplish for us and for this world. A sacrifice for sinners held captive by their sin and unbelief. That is the Lord's intent. To bring our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts to him. To deliver comfort and encouragement in the face of suffering and persecution. Yet, as our text tells us in verses 16 to 19, Old Testament Israel and the Jews in Jesus' day refused to believe God's plan. Jesus says it this way, "But to what shall I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates? We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." The refusing to believe world and the refusing to believe nature in all of us want to call the shots. We want to be in control. We want to tell John and Jesus when to dance and when to mourn, when to bless, when to curse. This was Luther's hopeless situation as a trying to earn God's favor monk. Luther dedicated himself to the Augustinian order, devoting himself to fasting, long hours in prayer, pilgrimage, and long and very frequent confessions. But Luther described this period of his life, this period of trying to earn God's favor, as one of deep spiritual despair. He said, "I lost touch with Christ the Savior and Comforter, and made of him the jailer and hangman of my poor soul." Could it be that simple? Could it be true that God's plan of salvation is just to believe and trust that Jesus does it all? Surely we must earn our way into heaven, right? Surely we must do something, right? That's what the world keeps telling us. That's what we expect. Most people, when asked why they think they're going to heaven, they say, I'm basically a pretty good person. And in this world, anyone who would propose otherwise, well, that led to persecution and death for John the Baptist, Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, and for Jesus. From the world's perspective, that is what we would expect. Yet Christ's mission to restore humanity is fulfilled despite the world missing him by refusing to believe, despite our old nature's refusal to believe. That old nature that sometimes whispers in our ear, was Jesus really the Messiah? Or maybe he was just a prophet. Did Jesus really do what he said he did? I'm so sinful. Am I good enough to get into heaven? What do I have to do to get into heaven? If you hear the whisper sometimes, you're in good company. John the Baptist, whom Jesus proclaims the greatest of the prophets, even John did not expect this kind of Messiah. How the chosen Messiah came and secured salvation was difficult even for John. His fallen nature was not prepared for how the redeeming reign of Christ would break into human history. In prison, he wondered about who this Jesus is. Maybe he wondered why Jesus was not wielding his power, if he had it after all, to set things right. Maybe even John, maybe why would not Jesus even maybe get John out of the dungeon? The Reformation shocked the world, but rediscovered Jesus. No one could foresee the Reformation coming, not even Martin Luther. One obscure monk against the power of the church, one voice in the tiny Wittenberg, Germany, changed the thinking in the eternal future of hundreds of millions. But that's not what really happened. What really changed the world was the Messiah that Moses and the prophets and John the Baptist had been talking and pointing to all along. It was Jesus. Jesus comes with faith-strengthening comfort, courage, and hope. Jesus gently leads John in taking his eyes off himself and placing them back on the secure and certain prophetic word of God, ultimately on the word made flesh. John is called to accept his suffering and death as he faithfully follows the Lord's one and only sacrifice for the sins of the world. And it is that cross of Jesus, proclaimed in the same certain word of the prophets and John and preached by Luther, that rocked the world in the Reformation. Jesus Christ and the one who sent him prepared for the redemption of a darkened and dying world from the very beginning. From the very beginning, God had a plan to save you from your sin through faith in Jesus Christ. The revelation of our deliverance through prophets and apostles is jaw-dropping, a remarkable history of clueless sinners, graciously declared saints for the sake of Christ and his cross. Totally unexpected. This is the legacy of the prophets and John, a truth rediscovered by Martin Luther and a truth that we celebrate today. Jesus Christ, our Savior, did it all on the cross for each and every one of us. Rose 3 days later, and one day we'll come back again. We close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks for continually bringing us back to your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks for not leaving us alone in our daily walk, but you have given us the power through the Holy Spirit to keep our eyes focused on you and not ourselves. To trust that when we repent of our sins, you forgive all of them, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our neighbors. Father, I pray for each person within the sound of my voice this morning that as the Holy Spirit illuminates their heart, that your word may take root and that you will make your word alive in each of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.